Blog Talk Radio.
Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Mr. Tibbs in, and when you meet your brother,
Fire voice, you say. Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh bid you that say, right?
And Yahweh bless you, Brother C.S. Brother C. Royal. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Let's see. Ready to get in again. 195 International Countries, 101788 is in the room. So you got the flow. 195 International Countries, 101788. You got the floor, Mr. Tibbs. Take your time and put on what Yahweh have given you to put for tape number 23. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast of 101,788 attendants. And we all came to hear the things that most of us can hear, and some listening can never understand, and to see those things that most of us can see and some can never find, to touch those things that most of us can touch and others can never feel. And why? Because it's the words of Yahweh which makes all this and more possible for the righteous. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil." 13, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Well, as I said many times before, which you should be used to hearing now, there are many of us that come here for the good of Yahweh's word. And we receive it, and those of us that understand it, we commend it and add unto it. But that's not the same for others. Some come just to see who's all attending, what we're talking about, and who they like and don't like. And I know many have seen just as much as I as before. These are people that have to realize that we are here for one reason, and that's for the word of Yahweh. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible about Yahweh's word, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found that which you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday, which its temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address we can use. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of those smart devices you're currently on. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the line, you're going to see some choices. One of these choices is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of your other devices, it may appear to be a little different. This time you may see menu. After clicking this, again you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as you did for previous use. Doing so, remember what we were told in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahweh, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahweh glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh Live. Also to build a school, banquet hall, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, check the calendar to stay in tune with the feast days that come to you and your family throughout the year. For the live program, This is another feature that's available only during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of those devices. Right on the search line this time, enter three words, Yakwa Radio Live. After you click on it, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We currently have two email addresses, the first which is Tribe. That's TRIBEYHDH at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions. Questions can be answered of a biblical subject or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers to reach Yakwa's ministry also. Consider rethinking to use them before broadcast time or afterwards. What would greatly be appreciated is not to disturb Yahuwah's words, because we have a few verses from the Bible that explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8 says, answer not before they've heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But as I've mentioned many times before, and sometimes even during the time of our broadcasts while I'm speaking, there are still those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. Call during the program announcement or cause disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may not be familiar with what Yahuwah the Son has given us in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah. Also, we find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact us here directly via by voicemail, email, or text. He's usually pretty busy answering many memos, as most of us have seen, even having thoughts of just running a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly what's important is preparing Yahuwah's lessons before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to do only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed counts. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah will be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number, as I previously mentioned. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But, again, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in Matthew 19:26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, remember you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. This program is repeated at 9:45 p.m. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of those devices. Once again, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, right on the search line. After clicking enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program you are late logging into, or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we are in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording of any program just by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, it appears to me that today is another day for Yahuwah's Word, and I think it appears the same to each one that's attending right now. Nothing has changed except the number of people that came to listen to Yahweh's word and receive it. And those that only want to hear certain verses in the Bible, following, once again, by those taking the verses meaning another way, along with noisemakers complaining, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages, as I've seen before, looking like they're paying attention, but when they're asked to speak the words of Yahweh, they're clearly lost. They have forgotten. We are only one man and one woman. And seriously, time is not in our favor, but the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what one man or one woman can do that was Yahweh created in this life. And that, if that's all possible. Because anyone ever says they've done 101%, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahweh's creation. That's impossible. Don't forget what Yahweh the Son said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahweh the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible." So we begin to notice that the Bible tells us, as I've mentioned before, which you should be very familiar with by now, that a man and woman are measured by their works, the things we think, do, and say. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Well, we try to show good works of Yahweh, and we bring them to you on each and every broadcast. There's been times when I've seen people that use the word of Yahweh to try to place curses on you. I've actually experienced someone trying to do that. "If you don't do what I ask you," I was told once, "I will have Yahweh to put a curse on you." Well, you have to think about that. Most of the religious things that we think of, the most horrifying things, especially a movie, the most frightening are the Catholic Church design. Thinking about the exorcism, the demonic nun, the vampire nun, and so on. There are about 50 others I can think of, but hundreds or more made, which are mostly frightening when it pertains to the Catholic Church. I guess this has been instilled in the mind of most over the years, that you can place a curse on someone as punishment. Well, when we think of curses, many of us immediately think of voodoo. We picture someone pushing pins through little dolls which represent those they hate, and so bad things can come up on them. We think of a person casting spells that way. However, voodoo is much more than that. It's a religion of some people, a practice, chiefly in the Caribbean countries, especially in Haiti. It is a mixture, note that I say, it is a mixture of Roman Catholic rituals and the aneurysm and magic of slaves in West Africa. Those who practice voodoo believe that Yahweh rules over a multitude of local divinities and defiled ancestors and saints who communicate with dreams, trances, and ritual practices. Most of this, what I'm saying, can be found actually on YouTube, on your smartphone, if you use your smartphone in a smart way. In the Bible, curses and spells are actually forbidden, practices that extend far beyond the practices of voodoo. No matter how small a bad wish, it is still a form of a curse. There are some of us out there that actually use the Bible verses to try this, as I've mentioned before. This is the far most worst thing that one can ever do, using the words of Yahweh to wish harm on another. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, should be taking notes, he will. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 10 to 12, 10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." 11, "or a charmer, or a counselor with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." 12, "for all that do these things are abomination unto the Yahuwah. And because of these abominations, the Yahuwah do divide them out from before thee. Look at the book of James, chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. Verse 9 says, therewith blessed we Yahuwah, even the Father, and therewith then cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of Yahuwah. 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded a blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. 11. Do a fountain send forth the same sweet water and bitter? Remember, the Bible, we have words of Yahuwah that are reminders to us that we do error not knowing the scriptures nor the power of Yahuwah. This is quoted in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. So be careful what you wish for, but be wise what we pray for. We were given the choice to use this choice in a wise way. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19 is our choice. 19 says, I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, it seems that Yahuwah has given a hint on what you should choose. I will do exactly what's said. At this particular time, keep the Bibles open. As you see, there is always a lot to learn. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You're right on that. So there's a lot to learn. It's a lot to read on, but But one thing about it, the Six Anointed Camp is ready to take care of this business and laying this foundation. And once this foundation is laid, then we'll stand the judgment after the foundation is being laid. Gotta lay the foundation first, see. We're doing a series called The Fire of Destruction of Christianity, the Great Beast, and the Roman Catholic Church. But we got the latest foundation. And it got to be so plain. Brother Yagdai Israel, why don't you look up something for me on what happened on September 23rd, 1519. What happened on September 23rd, 1519 in Mexico? What happened on September 23rd, 1519 in Mexico? What happened? What happened there? And what happened? Let me see. I need some more. What happened? What happened June the 30th, 1520? Or is it January the 1st, 1520? I need to know what happened June the 30th, 1520, and July the 1st, 1520, and what happened in September the 23rd, 1519. I need to know what happened in writing. Yep, need to know what happened. Let's see what this memo is letting me tie in. K. In 1504, Hernan Cortez was 19 years old. In 1511, he was 25, and he joined in with DIEGOBELAZUQEZ, Band Squares. So he joined him up with him in 1511. But before we get on in there, let me see now, run up to the chart and see if the chart got anything she want to bring to the nice lesson. I think she done some research on something. We don't rehearse nothing. So we're going to bring Count Fo in and see if she have anything that she want to bring to tape number 23 around Detroit, Michigan. Yahuwah Bishop, that's it right. Detroit, Michigan. Yahweh be to the free right here.
Yahweh bless you, see, Royal of Israel.
Yahweh bless you, see, Israel of Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh. What do you have? You got anything on that you want to bring on tape 23? Anything you want to bring pertaining to some research that you have did? You on the clock. Come on.
I'm still working on that. I'll have that in several days.
All right. Good enough. Well, okay. Well, all right. Good enough. You can have it in about 7 days. Okay. In 7 days. That's a great thing. All right there, Campo, Detroit, Michigan. So we'll go right back to what we was on. And we want to, because we're doing a series and we need to lay the foundation down on what we got to do. So, Hernán Cortés, like I said, in 1511, he was 25 years old. And then he was offered a big position. A big position, because in 1511, that was the conquest of Cuba. And we want to find out more about Cuba. We're going to put that to the side for a minute. I just want to lay this little foundation. So now, in April of 1519, he left to go and spy out the land for this big dignitary that was in Cuba that sent him. And because he always heard that it was gold in their new world, but the old world, it was gold there up under Montezuma's. It was gold there, he heard that. So he came to the shores of now known as Mexico. We use that word for right now. And when he came, this is what he brought with him. He came with 11 ships, 16 horses, red pit bull masters, 500-plus soldiers, 100-plus sailors, 4 or 5 cannons, horses, like I said, horses they never seen, and attack dogs they never seen. And if you don't believe this, you defeat it anyway. So now, and they land in the city called Yucatan. They went to Yucatan, Yucatan. That's where they land on in February 1519. That's where he landed at in 1519. And Montezuma's heard about this guy. When you do the research, he was basically defeated from the jump. Because first of all, he was told by his advisors to wipe them off the face of the earth from the get-go. All the one that was around him was told to do that. But he perceived that Cortez was a god, a pale-faced god. So he had the last call, and he let Cortez stay around instead of following his council board telling him to wipe them off the face of the earth again and there. But he was defeated already because he thought Cortez was a god with the weapons they had, because they'd never seen a horse before, and they'd never seen vicious tack dogs like this before, and they'd never seen sticks that shoots bullets out, and they had it all mixed up, but his council board told him, let's bomb rush them and beat them down and wipe them off before they even get on the shore. But he didn't do that. So we're going to leave that right there for a minute. We made enough foundation right now. We're going to find Brother Yahdai Yisrael and get something going on. And we're going to see can we start tying this series in a little bit more. All right, remember, no class tomorrow. No class tomorrow. We'll be back on Wednesday, but we're going to see when we can get going on right now and showing you when you have trustee counsel around you, it's best to listen and be humble enough when he was told to destroy Hernán Cortés by his council board before he even got to the shores, and don't be bumming around with him. So we're going to leave that right there on the table and see what we can get on tape 23. We got to lay the foundation for a time to come. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahdai Yisrael. Brother Yahdai Yisrael. Yahweh be with you, I see you, Ray.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. I see you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Brother Yahdai Yisrael. We got so many ways to get at this right here. We don't know how to get at all this, all these memos, but we ain't going to get off into none of that today. We just want to kind of catch up and lay a little bit more groundwork on what we're working with. So let's see how we're going to get at this. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Yahdai Yisrael, let's see what we can get going on there. Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
I got a question for you, Brother Yahdai Yisrael. I got a question for you. If you was in a position and you seen where somebody was coming with a ship, and they had red pit bull masters with them, 16 horses, 500 plus soldiers, 100 sailors, a war cannon, and man, they never been on your shores. And if you see, and they got six that is out. If you think all this was in front of you, what would you do there, Brother Yahdai Yisrael? What would you do?
What would I do? Good question.
Yeah, what would you do? Now, here's the problem, what you do, but look what you got with you. You was the ringleader. You got at your exposure over 500 million, 500, just say for example, 500,000 raiding horsemen at your goal. What would you do?
Well, see, good question. And that's something I would have to think about.
Okay, well, we'll leave that right there. So, Montezuma was told about the situation. So we're going to leave that right there. But as you examine the old records, we see where Montezuma was defeated, Hernán Cortés really got, because this is what he did. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Let me show you what he did. Let me show you what he did, Brother Yahweh Israel. That's why you have to know who around you, and you gotta know what's around you. In Acts chapter 10. Give me one line. Acts chapter 10, verse 17.
The book of Acts chapter 10, verse number 17 reads, "Now while Peter doubted in himself."
So now see, when you in a leadership position, that's the last thing you want to be, a leader that doubt in himself. Let's run to Matthew chapter 14. I mean, let's see if we can get a precept on that. See, Matthew's chapter 14. What do the last two lines say in 31?
Look at Matthew 14, verse 31. "Well, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?"
Mm-hmm. Now, when you in leadership position, when you doubt and don't know what to do, it can cause everybody around you, if you don't know what to do, you know. Let's run to now. When Montezuma was told by his council members what to do, let me show you what he did. This is what he did. Let's run to the book of Daniel. This what he did. So when you sit there and analyze, you know, some things, we're going to Daniel chapter 1. And like I said, again, we kind of tie in this story. Like we said, we're going to bring this story and put it right in your lap. It's like, so, the sixth anointed council was eyewitness to this right here. Now, Montezuma was told by his council board what to do. And this is what he did. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 2. This is what he did. Now, this Montezuma did. This is the history part that we're going to lay the foundation on. And this is what he did. Daniel chapter 2.
The book of Daniel chapter 2.
Verse 2.
Verse number 2 reads, "Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king."
So now his closest was his cousin and his brother to him, cousin and brother. Brother got killed and cousin got hemmed up. And they told him what to do. And he said he gonna send his magicians, astrologers, and soothsayers down there and scare them back into the ship. You see what the leader did? Because he had doubted himself because he was looking at them as being a god. Now, he didn't pay attention to what was told him to do. So he approached them as they was a god. Keep that in your mind. That's what he did. Now, so when Montezuma sent all his astrologers there, knowing that they had a god over them, God was Satan, the devil, and say and let me go to Acts. Let me see now. Pull that out in the book of Acts. There. Let me see now. Pull that out. Oh, Yahdai Israel. So in Acts chapter 19, let me see now. Pull that out. Acts 19. And that's sixteen. So that's why I say, you know, it's many things we say, but we're gonna let it unfold itself. Let's see what it says in Acts chapter 19, verse number 14-16. What does it say? Acts 19:14-16.
Book of Acts chapter 19, verse number 14-16 reads. Book of Acts chapter 19, verse 14. There were seven sons of one Sceva of Yahdai Judah, and chief priests and chief of the priests which did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yahweh the Son I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Verse 16. The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded.
Yes. And who are these men again that Who were these men again in 14, the last two lines? Who were they?
Chief of the priests, which did so.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? They was chief. They was in the decision making. So, see, Roy, you see, when you're in the decision making, you got to, let's go to the 12th chapter of 1 Kings. See, you can't put anybody decision making because emotional decision. Like, the king had the last shot to call, and he was told by his advisors exactly what to do. But what happened, he was defeated already because he looked at Esau and his sons as it was gods. That's the way he approached them. And council board says the council board in the 12th chapter, let's pick it up at verse number 5-7, 5-8. Let's see what it says in 5-8. Let's go in our 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 5. Now, we land a foundation because one thing about it, see, right, it ain't got nothing to do with seniority. It's got something to do when you make a decision. Your decision must rest. You have to make a decision, which is a sure thing, which is his word. So now, as we trace Montezuma II and lay him out and give some Cortez going to start doing some things after that. It says here in 1 Kings 12, verse 5-8.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse number 5-8 reads, book of 1 Kings 12, verse number 5. He said unto them, depart you for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. Verse number 6. And the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer the people? Verse number 7. They said, I'm saying, you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and after them, and speak good words to them, and they will be thy servant forever. Verse 8, when he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him.
Mm-hmm. So you see what he did? He forsook the counsel of the old men. Same thing what Montezuma did. Now give me what we're looking for, bro. Y'all got this right there. I want to walk this down real. I'm going to walk it down because this is going to be a long series anyway. But we land a point that we're trying to, you know, because see, right now, you know, sometimes you get in a position where if you don't remember scripture, you will get caught up like everybody else that got caught up. What happened June the 30th, 1520? January the 1st, 1520. What happened in history that we can read, that Brother Yahdai Israel? What happened in history that we can read?
Come back with that, Sia.
What happened in history of June the 30th, 1520? What happened in history of June the 30th, 1520.
Give me one second. Let me see if I can get to that.
You might have to put down in Mexico. You might have to put down that they might just come right off and tell you some good stuff right off the top. But June 30th, 1520. I want to know what happened in June 30th, 1520. What happened that we can read?
Oh, okay, let me see what we got here. It reads, I'm reading from the Britannica online encyclopedia, and it reads, June 30th, 1520, known as Nachi Trustee, Sad Night. Cortez and his men attempted to leave the city quietly, but were spotted by the Aztecs. Fierce fighting erupted, and Alvarado, who was leading the rear guard, narrowly escaped, thanks largely to a spectacular leap across a canal.
Mm-hmm. Give me some more. Give me some more.
The Spaniards were captured. Spaniards. Let me see if I can get to it. Oh, yeah. Let me see where.
I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more. So you said now, so far you got on June 30, 1520, this day is translated to be a sad night. If that day is a sad night for somebody. So when you do your history work, on June the 30th, 1520, it was a sad night. Now, let's find some more about the sad night there, Brother Yahdai Israel.
And it reads, the Spaniards recaptured Tenochtitlan in 1521 and then 1522. Alvarado became the city's first alcalde, mayor, or principal magistrate.
Hold on, Yahdai Israel. You don't got too far up. Now I want to come back to 1520. I need a little bit more on 1520 before we even get down to that. Somebody in class did something like that. Maybe, hold. We don't want to get way down there yet. We want to stick to this 1520. What happened? What about this sad night of 1520 there? Oh, y'all got it. I mean, we can read. Give me enough to work with. You know, I'll step in there in a minute. But can you give me enough to read about the sad night of 1520? I'm looking for the sad night.
It reads. Cortez and his men attempted to leave the city quietly, but were spotted by the Aztecs. fierce fighting erupted, and Alvarado, who was leading the rear guard, narrowly escaped, thanks largely to a spectacular leap across the canal. The Spanish shot to lean in 1521 and in 1522.
Hold that right there. Stop it there. Hold that right there. We won't get there. So now we won't get right here. We hold that off to another time. So what now, this sad night is when Cortez, he left because the spies have told him that a ship is coming because you have violated the rules and regulations that you were sent to do. So he went and he left El Dorado in place. He left El Dorado in place until he get back. He's going to go and take care of the business of this ship that was coming in to either arrest him or kill him, but relieve him of his duties. But he was able to convince them about what he had on the table, plenty of gold and everything else. And so he was able to smooth mouth the police officers that was coming to get him. He was able to show them the bigger picture, and they gone in with them after, you know, they had a little scuffle a little bit. It was a little killing going on, but they really got situated. It was a little killing going on when they first got together. So that's when you do the history work. It was a little killing going on first. Then all of a sudden, they came to reason. Why should we fight among ourselves, join in, and get some of this what we got going on? Okay, good. But El Dorado was left back at the great big temple that they had going on in Cusa, whatever that word. And what happened there was that the men's got to, it was a feast coming up. And the Aztecs, which was the Ishikar them, they was getting worked up for the feast day. They was getting prepared for a feast, but El Dorado, he did not know. He thought they was getting ready for a war battle. So he panicked and jumped and started to killing up some folks. And he turned into a big war. It turned into a big war there. And a lot of then once it was told to, Cortez. So they got back and found out that it was a big tournament going on. They came in to real try to help. And the reason why this day was such a sad night, because they got slaughtered. And they was able to come back. They lost maybe two-thirds of their men. And Cortez got back to help out. And they barely escaped with their life to regroup, and because what happened that they was already prepared to, and when they hit them drums, it came Ishikar from every place and got to whooping on them, and that's why this day is a sad day for the sons of Esau called the Spaniards. But it is a celebration in Mexico for the mark of 500 years anniversary. So you go on your computer, you find out that the Mexicans, which is Ishikar, they celebrate this day. About they got a lick in. They celebrate, but this was a sad day to the Spaniards because they struggled and they just got out a few of them that made it out, taking the one that they had captured, they taking them back and sacrificed them to their gods. We read his name last night. They pull out their hearts and sacrifice the Spaniards, the sinners of Esau, and that was a great day. And this day right here is celebrated every year around this time that they got a lick in on the Spaniards, and they celebrate that 500th anniversary of that beatdown that they put on the sinners of Esau. You see that? So we want to get that in. Now you have one more. Forget about July the 1st, 1520. That's out the way. Now I want to know what happened on September 23rd, 1519. Now, what happened prior before that, this battle right here, what happened September 23rd, 1519? What happened? What does the history say? And see, this is what I was telling the big dignitaries. Before you ready to box, raffin, and put those fear in a headlock, let the seer put on a case first. Then if you still have that same mindset, but we want to on the table information that you need to know first, you heard to check all your life. You've never heard the balance. We're trying to give you a balance of something as we speak. Now, the balance is what happened September 23rd, 1519. What happened there, Brother Yahya Israel?
One second, sir.
September 23rd, 1519. Can you help me out there, Brother Yagdai? We don't rehearse nothing. And that's why the broadcast is the way the broadcast is, because we don't rehearse nothing. And we just go with the flow, but we know one thing, that the Mexicans, the so-called Mexicans today, which is Ishikar, they celebrate this day. They celebrate this day every year. About them, got them a lick in. Nobody know about this deal but them. We only know the check part of things, but we trying to tell you it's a balance. It's a celebration going on because they got a lick in on the conquistador. And the Spaniards, which really is the descendants of Esau, they got a lick in. And they celebrate that lick every year. Of them getting a lick in, how they had to just about had on Cortez, he slipped, but they had him where they wanted to have him at, okay? But he was told from the get go what to do, and that's why in leadership must make a decision, and you must make a spirit-led decision that you can. Not, I admire this person. No, I got to make the call in according to the Bible if you want to be on the safe side. So very important to come out of this right here, up the road, because sometimes you see things unfold, but we're going to show you step by step. We're going to show you step by step unfold some things that you need to know step by step and put it right in your lap on information that you have never was put together, but it was known of, but this was hid from you. So now, September 23rd, 1519, what happened there, Brother Yahya Israel? Brother Yahya Israel, what happened September 23rd, 1519?
One second, and now I'm okay. Trying to wait to Wait till it comes through here.
Okay. Well, I need to get long wind a little bit more. Okay, well, I tell you what, let me get long wind a little bit more. I can lay in a little bit more. You just, whenever you say you ready, I'll get long winded a little bit more, and I just jump on a little bit until you get some ready. Now, after they got their beat down, they went back to the land that they called, that he had them create for himself, called Vance Cruzer, B-E-R-A-C-R-U-Z. Now, jump in whenever you get ready there, Brother Yaka Israel. So I just fill in the space while you be working on it, no dead time on the network. So they went back. They went down the road a piece to recover. They went, then all of a sudden in the spring of August 1520, they had three good breaks came for them. Three good breaks came from them August of summer 1520. First thing arrived on their side was 200 sons of Esau Spaniard expedition. They came to join in with Cortez. That was one great thing happened for them. So they got a chance to have some. Number two, his father in Europe and Spain had him sent him another ship with supplies on it. More bullets, more horses, and mustard guns. And that was the second thing happened for them. And the third thing happened, they also sent three things happened for Cortez. And it's, they sent blankets with smallpox on it. Because that disease got the whooping on them earlier back a few. So they sent blankets with smallpox, and they know that can do it. So they also were sent three good things happened for them. 200 new soldiers, his father sending weapons to help, and smallpox diseases that they knew no cure of it at all. And that would happen too. Now, these three things were sent to help get back at Montezuma, but Montezuma was killed. In this battle, Montezuma was killed. He was killed in this battle right here. He was killed, but his cousin taken over. The battle, presumably he got killed in that battle. So he was no longer around. And the WCC saying, Seer, that history right there, we want to check it out before you continue down there. We're going to mute Brother Yagdai's microphone. You're going to mute his microphone. Well, you know, sooner or later, we're going to tell a story. We're going to get it out sooner or later. So you want to mute Brother Yagdai's microphone? Well, what can we say? It's your radio station. You do what you want to do. Okay, so I got to put that down to the side. We'll take the muke off if you change the subject matter. Well, I don't know about change the subject matter. I don't know about change the subject matter now. I ain't got no choice, but, you know. So you see, what we're trying to say is information that we need to know before we make all these decisions. And one thing about leadership. Leadership must make a decision according to. Now, Montezuma would have never lost his life if he would have obeyed the council members telling him, this is what you do. let's go and jump them now. Let's don't be playing around with these peoples. But Montezuma got spooked and said, well, I'm going to send my soothsayers down there, and they're going to put a curse on him and run him back into the water. You can't curse. How you going to put a curse on somebody? See, now you end up got yourself killed behind that. So Montezuma got himself killed. They say he got killed by people didn't understand why he was delaying the thing. They say they threw rocks at him. But they also said the hidden hand was when he let Esau get behind his back, they stabbed him in the back and whatever. So he got so many things happened to him by not obeying what he knew by the council board telling him, listen, take care of business right now before they get situated. But he didn't do that. So we're going to find out what happened September 23rd, 1519 another time. We're going to find out, you know, because, see, we're going to bring out information and lay it on out in grand style. So we'll put that to the side there. We ain't nothing we can do about it because it's your radio station. So we just go and get Mother E and bring her in. And if you decide you want to take the muke off of Brother Yah Israel, that's up to you. Your radio station. Now, so we go get Mother E and make a little adjustment. We make a little adjustment because one thing about it, the check have been about, but the balance has never been told. He's going to tell you the balance of the storyline on what Yahweh is saying. So let's see if we go find Mother E and bring in when you meet the mothers out of camp one with a loud voice, you say. With a loud voice, you say, Mother E. Mother E with Mother Z goes by. Mother
Yahweh
bless
you, Israel
of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah there, Mother E. Now, Mother E, we was getting ready to really kind of lay a little foundation down, but so happened. Big station said they got to investigate what I'm saying because we don't like to be rattled up like this. Well, we understand that, so we're going to mute Brother Doc Dow's microphone where he can't respond to you until we want him to come. So, Mother E, we're just going to We'll go around that for a minute. But we on something. And like I said, again, we don't know how we going to, but we going to get at this storyline. So now let's find out a little bit more about Montezuma's. And we found out in 1511, Quez, they conquered Cuba. But I got to find out more about Cuba. I got to find out, well, when the descendants of Esau conquered Cuba in 1511, according to your 12th chart, who is Cuba? Can you look down and tell me who is Cuba there? Because see, right now, Cuba is polluted for what name? We got plenty of time. But Cuba is polluted for what? The Cubans. You know, they got a guy called Castro over there in Cuba. And, you know, they put a embargo on him. They shut him down for many years. But I don't know who is Cuba according to your 12th chart. Who is Cuba according to your 12th chart?
Let me get to it.
We'll make a little... Because we got to lay some things in. It's going to be a long series. So I need to know who Cuba is. Look on your 12th chart and tell me who is Cuba. Go on to your 12th chart.
Let me get to it.
When we hear a name, we have to be able to see the picture clearly of what's going on. So we have to be able to see it clearly what's going on. Because I want to get at some more things about what happened in, September 23rd, 15, 19. I really want to hear about that. We'll find out what Cuba was sending of Esau in 19. I mean, can you tell me? Can you tell me? We gotta be ready. We gotta be ready to go. I don't know where we're going, but always be prepared. We don't know what, which way they're going, but right now I need to know, without me saying anything, who is Cuba according to your 12th chapter. Look on there and see who is Cuba.
Vanessa.
Exactly right. So they're talking about Vanessa. That's what they're talking about. when you see Cuba on your news, you have to have the vision and leadership to know you're talking about Manasseh. And now, look on your, there's an island right down from that called Puerto Rico. And when you look on your chart, who is the Puerto Rican? Puerto Rico. Look down and see when I see Puerto Rico or the Puerto Rican peoples on my chart. If I see one that come among me, what do I suppose to say they really are? You Puerto Ricans from Puerto Rico, you are, that's polluted by what name?
Okay. Puerto Rico. I don't see Puerto Rico. I see Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what name? What name when I see the Puerto Ricans or Puerto Rico, who do I see according to what we just got through reading in 1718? It must be their fathers have to be visualized. So when I see Puerto Ricans or Puerto Rico on that chart, who is this?
I don't see Puerto Rico.
You don't see?
Okay, I got it. Ephraim.
You got it?
Ephraim.
Oh, all right. So, all right, there you go. Okay, so now we're in the driver's seat. So now, in 1511, Vasquez, Belazuque, they conquered this island of Cuba, and they got two, 1504 and 1511. So they conquered, they took over that in 1504 or possibly 1511. So one of these two dates. Because Cortez was 19 years old and he was 25 in 1511. But he was up under this big general right here that land. So they conquered Cuba. But what they done, they conquered Manasseh. Is that right? Is that what we're reading here?
Right.
Is that what we're reading?
It's Ephraim. Okay, now you talking about the Puerto Ricans?
Right, the Puerto Ricans. They conquered Cuba.
That's Ephraim.
Cuba, and that was... Okay, good. And now, y'all got your microphones too close together, and I'm hearing feedback from one of them, so somebody have to cut their microphone. Oh,
you got your phone.
I'm so low where it's back. I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Okay, so now so we got Cuba is, so now by us being the sixth anointed camps, when we see the conqueror of Cuba, we know you just conquered who?
Wait a minute now. Let me get back there. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. You conquered who? So when they jumped Cuba, who have they just conquered?
Manasseh.
So they really jumped Manasseh. So that's where they have jumped Manasseh. So that's where they have jumped Manasseh. Mm-hmm. That's where they have jumped. I'll stand by for a minute. Let me see, can I go back to Brother Yachdai Israel? Hold on that minute there, Mother E. WCC saying you're going to continue going too. We'll take the MUTX off of Brother Yachdai Israel, because now we have done a little background check while you was talking. So you can continue. Okay. All right, there, brother Yahdai Israel. So they saying don't make them nervous. Now, don't just have us where we don't have the proper information, but we on done the background check, so we're going to catch you in something tonight. Okay. So, brother Yahdai Israel, now, we want to come back and ask the question again. What happened September 23rd, 1519? Back on the clock. Come on.
I'm reading from the online encyclopedia, and it reads, let's see if I can write it down there, see? It says, meanwhile, Cortez learned of a confederacy of city-states whose capital was located at Tlaxcala, T-L-A-X-C-A-L-A. The Tlaxcalans, as they were known, had resisted the Aztec Empire for many years, but now found themselves entirely surrounded. After their initial conflict with the Spaniards, the Tlaxcalata soon understood that they shared a common enemy in the Aztec Empire and made an alliance with Cortez on September 23rd, 1519.
Is that something? So it was alliance made in 1519. So what we find out what happened September 23rd, 1519, Cortez made an alliance with, the name is called C-A-G-A-M-A-R-C-A. So he made an alliance with them, and it showed a gratitude because they was enemies because of the heavy hand what's his name again? What's that big dignitary name?
Cortez.
Montezuma. So they made an alliance in 1519. Now, that's what he did. But remember what was said. Now, in that alliance they made, he volunteered to give Cortez about 400 to 1,000 men to help carry the equipment and help fight in the war. And he also gave him somebody else. And we want to know, he gave him this big general, which they named him the Fat Chief. That's what they named him. That's not his name, but Cortez named him the Fat Chief. They gave him the name of that. That was not his name, but you know, they always will give you a name that fits them, and they call him the Fat Chief. So the Fat Chief gave them, and when they heard about the whooping that you want to put on them, and they've been getting taxes and everything else, and they said, hey, we will make an alliance with us. Thank you, the Fat Chief said. And the Fat Chief said, I'm going to give you between 400 to 1,000 of my men to help you. And I'm also going to give you, we want to find out what else did he give him. He gave him 20 female slaves. He said, not only that, we'll give you 20 female slaves, you know, to help you out. But one we're going to get, that one we want to get, and we'll find out what's her name that was given. And what about her, Brother Yahdai Israel? You want to find out? He also gave her, out of the 20 slaves, he gave one that we want to talk about right now. And so now put on your computer, what is the name of the woman that was given to Cortez, and what was her position? The woman that was given to Cortez, we want to pull out her name. But we go on somewhere with this. What is the woman's name that was given to Cortez? 20 of them was given to him, but one was, we want to know about one, and what was her position that was given to Cortez? What about the woman? What about the woman there, Brother Yahshua Israel?
Marina.
Yes. And what else about her? What else about her? Tell me some more about her, Marina. That's the name they gave her. And you keep reading down a little bit. Remember, Esau have always gave you names. That was the name that they gave her. But keep reading, they're going to tell you her real name and what is her position with him, besides to be his mistress that up the road he ended up having a child by her. He ended up with a child by her up the road, but we don't know what value was her to him, although he had 20 to be, to get the guys right. But this one particular one that he taken for himself, can you tell me more about her, Brother Yahshua Israel?
It reads, more popularly known as La Malinchit, was a Nahu woman from the Mexican Gulf Coast. She played a key role in the Spaniard conquest of the Aztec Empire, acting as an interpreter, advisor, intermediary for the Spanish conquistadors, Hernan Cortez.
Oh, she became an interpreter. She was interpreter and advisor to Cortez. So thank you, Brother Yahshua Israel. See, I got to always act like I'm excited about something, because that's how you got the role. So she was not only his mistress, but she was so valuable to him because she spoke the Semitic language called Hebrew, whatever that funny name you got there. And she also spoke the Spanish language, and Cortez could not speak the Hebrew language, period. So, but she could speak the language to be an advisor and an interpreter. So now, when Cortez speaks, she would interpret to Montezuma's or any of them what he's saying to get his message across. So she played that role, and that's why she was with him, although she was his mistress also. But she played a great role in being known, showing you that the Spanish language, Northern Kingdom knew about no Spanish language, because here it is right here. She had to translate the language of Cortez, the Spaniard, to Hebrew to Montezuma. So when they met, she was there to interpret. So the Spanish language is not the language when you hear the people speaking Spanish today that is not your language. Because if it were, then Cortez would not have needed, what's the name again? That he gave him. Monterey that he gave. What's the name that he gave him?
Marina.
Marteria, whatever. You know the cat name of Marteria.
The point we're making,
Cortez, the language of the land was not Spanish. The Spaniards could not communicate with the peoples of the land. So, his mistress, which is an advisor and interpreter. She knew the Semitic Hebrew language. Cortez used her to be the interpreter on when he had something to say to any of the native countries, even going to Montezuma's. Now, the reason he came to that shore, he's been hearing about old legends about how much gold was on the land. So he really financed himself and come up with 11 ships to go there because he wanted to be a big man heading back to Tarshish called Spain. So he said in his mind, if I can get there because of the gold. So now what the reason he there for the gold? But we've been taught through the Czech side, the reason the Spaniards came to the land was to convert them to Christianity and Catholicism and because of what they were doing. No. Cortez came there for the riches of the gold. It didn't get, he cared less about what you was doing there, and they ain't come to evangelize nobody. But that's the teaching today. The reason why the Spanish came there is to stop them from being a cannibalism, eating flesh and all that. No. No. That's the Czech side. The balanced part is he came there because he'd been hearing about the gold that was there, the gold, see, right? He was there for a specific reason, the gold. Now, once he met Montezuma's, and Montezuma's found out that he was there, Montezuma sent all type of presents to him, hoping that he would leave. He gave him enough gold and gifts. So Montezuma's using his own imagination. If we were, because he thought he was a god. So we'll give him presents and gold and hope they'll leave. He got a chance to stand before Montezuma after he allianced himself with all of the neighboring countries that was around. We'll take care of that in another lesson. So he got before Montezuma and he asked his interpreter one question to ask him. Is it any more gold than you gave me already? And the kiss of death when Montezuma says, we have plenty. And that what got his attention more than anything. It was nothing based upon them being sacrificing, killing their own peoples or killing whoever. That was far from Cortez's mind. What Cortez want to know, is it any more gold here? And he said the kiss of death to himself, but what Cortez wants to hear, yes, is plenty more of gold. Now we gotta go in the Bible on that. Let's run to I gotta pull a rabbit out of that, brother Yakadayas. We're going to the book of Isaiah. That's why you got to have the right people around you to know everything somebody say. It is a verse on everything that's said. We're going to about the 37th. Everything said. You got to have people that study this book. And when they make a statement, I got something, they give us something to work with. Just be overlooked something. On to 37th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And let's see what happened here. In the 37th chapter, let's pick it for time's sake. Pick it up at our verse number. Pick it up at verse 5. 37 verse. See, you know, like I said again, and I tell them big digging terrorists, wait till we put on the case first. Now we gotta lay it out. We're gonna lay it out in grand style. 37, pick it up at verse 5.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 37, verse number 5 reads, so the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah the seer, verse number 6, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, the same Yahweh, be not afraid of the word that thou hast heard, for if the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, verse number 7, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Verse number 8. So Rabshakeh.
That's it. That's it. So now you see, the seer came to tell Isaiah, don't be afraid of nobody. Because, you know, the seer came to tell him, don't be afraid of nobody. We got this. You in good shape. See? And see, that's the seer's job, is to let you know. In fact, we're about to tell you today about you hanging around that one-eyed Satan, and now you just, every move you make is pertaining to that one-eyed Satan. And the seer be telling you, listen, if you believe your Yahweh, and you doubt nothing, then Yahweh can deal with you. As long as you got doubt about anything, you're not going to get nowhere, and thus says Yahweh. Now we want to go to the 38th chapter. So now you see the seer was sent to tell him, don't worry about anything. Like we try to tell the six anointed camps. Don't worry about if you doing your Yahweh, he got you. But if you're not doing your Yahweh, you got plenty to worry about. Yeah, you got plenty to worry about if you're not doing your Yahweh. If you know that you can do more and you're not doing it, yeah, you got plenty to worry about. Now, I want to go a little further there, Brother Yahdai Israel. And now you see the seer, he showed up on him. And now I want to go and hear some that was made to Hezekiah I want to hear some story that was told to Hezekiah. Now, this is going to tie in to what we're talking about. What we're saying is going to tie in. Let's pick it up at 38th chapter, and we'll look at 38th chapter. We want to pick it up at verse number. I guess we got to get down to it. Okay. What I want, Brother Yahdai Israel, what are we trying to get? 39. Let's put this book 39 for time's sake. We go 39. Pick up a 39 and pick up a verse.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 39, verse number 1. Book of Isaiah 39, verse 1. At that time, Meredith Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Verse number 2. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house the temple of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasure, where there was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Verse number 3. Then came Isaiah the seer unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They have come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Verse number 4. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in my house have they seen. And there is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Verse number 5. Then said Isaiah the seer to Hezekiah, Hear the word of Yahweh of hosts. Verse number 6. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy father hath laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, save Yahweh. Verse number 7. And of thy son that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. They shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Verse number 8.
Then say, Right there, Brother Yahweh, Israel, see right. Now, so you see, the reason that Cortez came to this land, because he can be a big man, he came for the gold. He didn't come for no other reason but the gold. Now, once he got an interpreter that can speak the Hebrew language, because see, while we know that was the Hebrew language, all the other fun in that, you know, we go into the other book called, when the ship came, when a man named Montezuma, what book was that, Brother Yahweh? Let me think of the book called,
12 times the woman the came.
So you see, they're the same peoples, and they spoke Hebrew. And he knew they were speaking about him because he couldn't speak the Hebrew. So all that old wicked name you just came up with, we know that was Hebrew, really Semitic language. And the Spaniards, the descendants of Esau, did not know the Hebrew language as polluted for Semitic language. They did not know it. Point right here, the 20 women, but the woman that was mistress, husband, because she spoke the Hebrew language, and she also she spoke it all. She was advisor, interpreter, and when he spoke to her, she spoke to him. So now when he finally went eyeball to eyeball with him, the question was asked, Is it any more gold? That's what he want to talk about. Not what y'all doing over there. All he want to be a big man. You got some that we read in second book of Maccabees where Judas told the one he left in charge, you stay until I get back. But now they said, we're going to go make us a name. Going to step out of protocol and think it's going to work. It ain't going to work like that. So now once he found out that it was more gold, then not only that, he invited Cortez to the palace. And when Cortez got to the palace where the sacrificing of killing the captive slaves, not the common peoples, Cortez says, what is this on the wall you got here? And he said, this is our mighty one by that long name you mentioned a couple of days ago, or yesterday. And Cortez want to put Mary and a Jesus baby infant and all that old stuff. They said, no, that don't work like that. He said, that don't work like that. But then Cortez got inside the temple to see all that what he came in really for. So you see, the seer told, he said, what did you show them? He said, I showed them everything I got because they was concerned about it. He said, you know what you did, Big King? You going to show them everything you got, and they're going to come and take everything you got back to Babylon. The same thing Cortez was really there for. He wasn't there to save nobody from what you was killing and how you was killing. All was on his mind was the gold. And the question he asked to his interpreter, the woman, asked him, is it any more gold? And he said, come and see. And he showed him his whole house, whole everything he got, he showed it to Cortez. You see that, see, right here? So you see, now, we got that part out the way. Let's get a couple more in there, brother. Y'all got, yes, sir. To be laying a foundation, because see, they're going to come to you, one of the six anointed camps, and they're gonna come to you to answer. See? But the alliance is going to be deceit, because they're going to go against the record of Thus Says Yahweh. They're going to use the same paperwork that they always use to get your attention. I remember, and those that got a minute, they can remember too, when sister used to have a pencil behind her ear. Oh, you know this book in grand style. You this and you this. And she got the big head, had a pencil behind her ear. Bubbly. Talking about me and calling nobody out. But this is what's going to happen. That's going to happen, and we're telling you now it's going to happen, because we have to get somebody to slow down this express of voices of the true Israelites. We're going to have to do that. So we warn you up front. You know exactly what the record's saying, what's going to happen to come. They're going to infiltrate the weak link, and they'll come with all kind of gifts and presents and tell you all this and a bag of chips and everything. Tell you all that stuff. And some of you are going to bite for that. We're going to tell you in advance. And they will be the mouthpiece to see what they can't see, but they'll see it through you. So I hope you're getting the point that we're making. We'll leave that part like it is, and the same thing happened here. Now, he knew that people told him, the council board told him, listen, you get ready at them right away, and let's put some sword on them and push them back in that boat before they get anywhere. But he didn't listen to that. He thought he could work his way another way around it by sending his dignitary down there and bewitch them. Man, you can't bewitch Satan, the devil, with the way that you want to do it. They didn't do nothing for them but entertain them and buy them up to go get you some more. And they end up allying with all of the neighboring, whatever, the one that was against him, they visited every last one of the nations around and made alliance with them and told them, you see how he tax y'all, and you see how low down he is, why don't you join in with me, everything going to be all right. You see that? And that's where he gained his strength to do what is going on today. And remember, the paperwork never changed. A paperwork never changed, see, right? That's the point we make it. So we're going to find out which one of you six anointed camps will be the one that gets caught up and you've been told in advance on what's going to happen. In advance, just like you just got through reading it there. Cortez, only reason he was there for the gold, and he got a chance to get more than he wanted. He not only got the gold, he got in with the whole kingdom and the gold and everything else. Because what they did, what they never supposed to do. Judges, chapter 2, 1, 2, 3, what it say? Just come on in there, Brother Yagdai, yes, Israel. Judges, chapter 2, 1, 2.
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads. Book of Judges, chapter 2. Verse number 1. Book of Judges chapter 2 verse 1 reads, "The minister spirit of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Mizraim, for you were in Egypt, and I brought you unto the land, which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse number 2, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. You have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse number 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their false shakwas shall be a snare unto you."
So you see that, see, right? The council members told Montezuma, because they had their records. They said, Montezuma, listen, let's put some spin on them, whatever they got going on, and let's dry them back, fall back in that river as they came out. But he didn't see it that way. He thought he can cut them a deal or send his magicians there after doing what. Now let's tie this in. Let's see what happened. And see, they had their records. Issachar had the records. Isaiah 7, 1 through 9, and a closing statement. We'll leave it like that. They had their records, see, right? You got your records. Isaiah 7, 1 through 9, a closing statement.
The book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse number 1 through 9 reads, Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Yahdah Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Yahdah Judah to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Verse number 2. And it came to, and it was told the family of David, saying, Yahdah Judah, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, 10 northern tribes. And his mind was moved, and the mind of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Verse number 3. Then said Yahweh unto Isaiah the seer, go forth now to meet Ahaz, you, and Shed, Jasha, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field. Verse number 4. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-minded, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah. Verse number 5. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, Verse number 6. Let us go up against Jabdah Judah and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us. And set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Verse number 7. Thus saith Yahweh, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Verse number 8. For the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim, northern kingdom, be broken, that it be not a people. Verse number 9. And the head of Ephraim, northern kingdom, is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established.
And you know, I'll be asking a brother. After we read these verses, I ask the question, do you believe these verses? And what is your statement behind that? Now, we all got our Bibles, and we bring all this information to you. But I ask Brother Yahdah a question. Do we them believe what this Bible is saying? And what's your answer again to that, Brother Yahdah? What is your answer to that again, Brother Yahdah? What's your answer?
Oh, Yahweh, you know.
Oh, Yahweh, you know. What are we making see right if this? Do you believe what this man says or not? You see, Northern Kingdom, this is why they not in their land today, and this is why they broke as a people. And this is why they call Aztecs, Mayans, Omars, and every name it is. And they go right back to come to the second part again. Right back and do the same thing again. And the advisor told Montezuma, this is what we're supposed to do. On top of their head right away. But he looked at them as from space. He can learn something from this. Oh, he took it lightly and sent his magicians down there, as Sue said, get them back into their boat. Man was to have you to break covenant to make leave. And the spirit tell you, don't. This is your outcome. I don't care how good it looks to you. In camps, when you're on the clock, remember tape 23. Well, y'all got Israel. What's your closing statement? You're on the clock.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out there. See Israel, a seed royal. Great word, King. To the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Excellent, Brother Yahdah. Yes, we'll catch your wings tonight for some more. But see you. See Royal. Listen to the lesson, tape 23. Bring back Mr. Tibbs in and get his closing remarks. And remember, no broadcast tomorrow. Catch you all wings tonight. We'll give Mr. Tibbs closing remarks, and we'll go in with the mothers and close it out, bro. And like I said, we're laying the foundation. We seeing where they went wrong. You can't besook the strip. Mr. Tibbs, what you closing remarks and just say is Yahweh, you on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. We've covered quite a bit of good information thus far. And we know that's why we all come to hear the things that most of us can hear. And some listening can never understand. And to see those things that most of us can see and some can never find. We touch those things that most of us here can touch and others never feel. And we know that the wicked can do none of these things because it's the words of Yahweh, which we say that makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, the eyes of the Yahweh over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Well, as I've said many times before, it should be manifested in the minds of most of us at this time. There are a lot of us that come for the good of Yahweh's word. We receive it, we commend it, and add unto it. But some, they cast it behind their back because we see that they are looking at who's attending, who's talking about what, and who they like and don't like. And these are the people who have to realize that we're here for one reason, and that's for the word of Yahweh. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and open to you all's ways with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible about Yahweh's word, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found that which you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days we're open is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. That temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address to use. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After clicking on it, just under the line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of your other devices, it may appear to be a little different. This time under the line, you may see menu. Clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength." 8. "Give unto the Yahweh glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh Live. Also to build a school, banquet hall, and the land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar to stay in tune with the feast days that come to you and your family throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To use this, open up any search engine right on the search line. This time, type three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We currently have two email addresses also. The first, which is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions answered of a biblical subject or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers also to reach Yahweh's ministry. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards would greatly be appreciated, as not to disturb Yahweh's words. We have a few verses from the Bible that explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "Answer not before thou have heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26, it says, 26, "If any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." But as I begin to see, there's still those that do the opposite, as I've seen many times before, of what the scriptures say. They call during a program announcement or cause disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may not be familiar or simply ignored what Yahuwah the Son has told us in the book of Matthews, chapter 22, verse 29. Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of Yahuwah." Also, we find it extremely necessary to mention, by no means contact the seer for questions direct via voicemail, email, or text. He is usually pretty busy answering many memos, as most of us have seen during the program. Even having thoughts of running just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. And mostly, what's mostly important, preparing Yahuwah's lesson before a program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of our six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But again, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in Matthew's 19:26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of the program, remember you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Fridays. This program is repeated at 9:45 p.m. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we're in the process of making it possible for any one of the listening members to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, we have to remember that time is not in our favor, but remember the best is yet to come. We remember this because we can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life, and that if that's all possible. Because if anyone says they've done 101%, they'll just lie. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. Don't forget what Yahuwah the Son said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. 26 said, Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So at this particular time, taking these notes and understand what is possible, you know that we can learn the word of Yahuwah and put it into our lives, and then bring this word into our loved ones so they can have it in their lives, growing to know Yahuwah. Remember what it says in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18. 18 says, "Yea, man or woman may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So knowing that, we'll keep our Bibles open and continue to do our works under the name of Yahuwah. At this time, we'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Tiff. That's excellent again. Like I said, no broadcast tomorrow. But we land the foundation down because it's basically this. Broadcast is really for the six anointed camps, although everybody have a messenger in listening to the broadcast all over the country. But this is aimed for the six anointed camps on the real side to make sure you understand that you must make a decision according to what's written. And when you see things that's not written, and when you see where the point that when you told that it's not going to work, so I don't care what they bring to the table, it's not going to work according to scripture. He's telling you not to do it, but you'll do it anyway. So now we take a look at something by bringing Mother D up Israel with her. And when you meet the Moses out of camp, one with a loud voice, you say, Mother D up Israel. Yahweh bid you that see right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. So we find out right now that this road that we on is not going to be about you uniting with anyone that's going to be successful. And once you understand that leadership, when you see any signs of that, you have to bring that to the table to understand according to scripture. Because, see, sometimes even higher leadership can get stuck on stupid. And but you have to be in this book and say, no, what you're doing is not going to work, not according to scripture. Now, we need to find out who is Manasseh and Ephraim. Who is them they call today Cubans and Puerto Ricans? Let's go to Genesis 41 and pick up verse 41. Let's find out exactly who is Cuba and Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Cubans, who is they and who is they father? What are we going to find out right now? Let's go to Genesis 41. But you have a picture on what you're looking at. Because remember, as this lesson unfolds, we're going to head to Guadalupe again. Now, Guadalupe has been told that she was of mixed origin. She was half Esau and half, Issachar, which is half Indian and half Spaniard. And that picture has been sold today. We're going to see exactly who Ephraim and Manasseh is according to the Bible by going to Genesis 41, 44 through 52. You're going to clock, come on.
Genesis 41, verses 44 to 52. I'm going to have a time with these names. Genesis 44,
just,
verse. I mean,
just,
Genesis 41.
Hello. When you have a problem with a name, remember, just pronounce the first letter and keep it moving.
Hallelujah. Genesis 41, verse 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Mizraim, Egypt. 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph, name Z, and he gave him to wife the daughter of P, priest of one of Joseph on, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. 47. And in the seventh plenteous year, the earth brought forth by handful. 48. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the fields which was round about, he up in the same. 49. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Verse 50. And unto Joseph was born two sons before the year of famine came, which A, the daughter of P, priest of on bared unto him. 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for Yahweh said, he has made me forget all my toils and all my father's family. 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for Yahweh has to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Mm-hmm. So, who is the father of Manasseh and Ephraim, their mother? Israel. Who is they? Who is it?
Joseph.
And so Joseph, but they says, look on your chart and tell me who Manasseh is on your chart. Who is Manasseh and Ephraim is on your chart?
Ephraim is Puerto Rican. Manasseh is Cuban.
Ain't that something? But according to the Bible, their daddy is who?
Joseph.
So that's why we see this name Puerto Rico, Puerto Ricans and Cuban is polluted for Manasseh and Ephraim. Now let's come back and see who Joseph is again in 42 of Genesis. Who is Joseph again? In verse 6, who is he again?
In Genesis 42, verse 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he...
Right there. That's all I need to know who he is. So he was the governor over the land of Mizraim. Joseph was the governor. He had two sons, right? Let's go to the chapter and see what the governor and the two sons, what they look like, according to what they look like. We're going to see what they look like in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to know what they look like. What they look like in verse number 11, when their cousin looked directly at them, what do they look like? What do Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh look like, which is called Cubans and Puerto Ricans today? What do they look like according to 50 verse 11? According to
Genesis.
What they look
like. Genesis chapter 50 verse 11. And when the inhabitants of the land of Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of a tad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians for the
Hold on. So what is he calling? He looking right at Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, and all of the Israelites. He's looking at all of them. Look at WCC. So now, where is that at again? He's looking at all of them. Back up to verse 7 then. Back up to verse 7. And let's show you that.
Genesis chapter 50, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his family, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Verse 8. And all the family of Joseph and his brethren and his father's family. Only their little ones and their flock and their herd they left in the land of Goshen.
Uh-huh. And what were they going to do in verse 2? And then why were they going? What were they going to do in verse 2? Get to verse 2.
Genesis 50, verse 2. And Joseph commanded his servant, the physician, to embalm his father. And the physician embalmed Israel.
Ain't that something? So this is talking about Israel. So this is talking about Israel. And when the cousins look directly at Israel, they look directly at Joseph, and his sons, and they, all his brothers, every last one, his brother was there, and they looked directly at him, and cousins looked directly at him. They said they thought they was who in verse number 11?
Verse 11. And when the inhabitants of the Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of a tad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians."
Ain't that something? So the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, all 12 brothers, all their descendants, look just like the sons of Ham, called Mizraim. So you see what they look like, see, right? The history have not been told that, but we're going to show you how the things made the switch over. Remember, when Court got there, he was given 20 slaves. He produced from his interpreter a child. So that's when the color of them started evaporating from the pure color of the Egyptian. When Cortez them came there, they have never seen people look like that. And when they start mixing in with the inhabitants of the land, that started diluting the color. Hair started getting straighter. Features start getting different. So the record is, when you read about the story of Cortez, he received 20 slaves. One was his interpreter. He had a child by that interpreter that was his advisor. So that's when the color started getting diluted. See, right here, you got to know the record. The children of Israel, true name of, what they called, who is the Mexican? Who is the Mexican? Look down and tell me who the Mexican is there. Who is the Mexican?
Issachar.
Okay. Good. Let's take a look at something and we get ready. Let's go to 46th chapter. Now, remember, you said Issachar now, 46th chapter. Let's go see who is Issachar according to the Bible. Is anything famous about Issachar? We go on to the Bible, the 46th chapter of Genesis, and we want to find out who is Issachar. In the 46th chapter, pick it up at verse number 6. 46, verse 6.
46, verse 6? Genesis chapter 46, verse 6. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt. Israel and all his seed with him.
Verse number 7.
verse 7. His sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughter and his sons' daughter, and all his seed brought he with him into Mizraim, Egypt.
Verse 8. Verse 8.
Verse 8. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt.
These are their names. Hold on. These are their names. And we go and find out about these are their names. Verse 13.
And the son of Issachar, Tola.
Yes. Yeah.
And P. And Joe. And who? Ron.
And Job. Job there, right? So you got Job there, right? Yeah. So you got Issachar, you got Tola. Now, see, this is a name that, you know, that great big temple site. Issachar, this is, Tola is really supposed to be the name there. Because remember, everything called by your father. But we're going to take care of that in another lesson. That long name you be reading over there, that is Tola. See, that's Issachar is the people. Tola is the one that brought, that came over there, and that Issachar is Tola. But Tola got a famous brother called who? Job. And what did Job look like in 30-30? So if you find out what Job looked like, you find out what Tola looked like. You find out what Tula looked like, you find out what I look like. You find out what Issachar looked like, you find out what Israel looked like, and we just found out the Egyptian says they all look like them. They look just like Mizraim. Tula is that name in other lessons, Tula. That is the name of Issachar's boy, and when you do the research, Tula is the one that is the head of Issachar that came over there in the land that built all that stuff over there. Them big old Omars with the big old heads with the braids on the back of their head that you find over there in Mexico. That's Tula. Tula and Judah. That's what we're going to find out in later lessons to come. What does Job, what do Tula's brother look like? Job 30-30. One line, what did it look like?
Job 30-30. My skin is black.
My skin is black up on me. So Job is the brother of Tula. They the son of Issachar. Issachar is the son of Israel. So when Cortez got to the land and they ran into the Aztecs, which really was Tula, really was Issachar, these was black skinned peoples. See, that's how you find out things about, by just using the records. Ephraim and Manasseh came from Joseph. Joseph and all of his brothers, everybody, when they looked directly at them, they thought they was Egyptian. All them peoples over there when Cortez got there was dark skinned people until Cortez got over there. They conquered the land. Esau and his five sons started mixing in with the women of the land and diluted the color, and that's why you got all these pale-looking Cubans and Puerto Ricans, which is Manasseh and Ephraim that came from dark families, but with Esau mixed in with them. That's how you got all them colors on record. That's how you find out about things. So you got to do some research and find out about things. And what did Yahweh say in 127 verse 3 in the closing statement? We'll cut off right there, Mother, dear Israel. What do he say is in 127, 1-3 of Psalms? What do he say in 127, 1-2, and 3?
Psalms 127, verses 1-3. Verse 1.
Yes.
Except Yahweh build the family, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchmen wait but in vain. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For so he given his beloved sleep. Verse 3. Lo, children are an inheritance of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 3 again.
Verse 3.
Yeah, read
Lo,
verse 3 again.
Children.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
Yes. So the northern kingdom, that's what they had, that they had that blessing on them to produce many, 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 many babies. Because that blessing came from Yahweh. That's why when he sent them over there, it was millions of 10 northern tribes. I mean, it was everywhere. Because Yahweh had blessed the womb to produce many kids. And the blessing's on you now if you do the right thing. Because your blessing has produced many, many, many kids. Many kids. That's what it says in 127 verse 3. That's the blessing of Yahweh, to produce many kids.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Got it. D.F. Israel, what's your closing for take number 23, and we'll get back to the Wednesday night. Come on.
Well, I want to read Psalms 129. Verses 8. Neither do they which go by faith. The blessing of Yahweh be upon you. We bless you in the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. It's Mother D up Israel coming out of Cap 1. You blessing the name, see, right? You blessing the name. In fact, we might take a little look at that a little bit later. So you blessing the name. But remember one thing. Yahweh is in the blessing business. He'll bless you, children of Israel. But you got to make your decision according to what you read. And you got to recognize when folly comes, because folly is on his way. I'm telling you now. Because one thing about it, the sixth anointed camp must be stopped, because they all offense now, and we got to get them on defense. How you get them on defense is let them use the same tactics that they use to conquer you. They're ally with you, and they'll say, well, you don't like that fella, do you? No. Let's get together, and let's whoop him. See, right here, Yahweh is telling you, you do not do these things in allies with any of the 17 nations. On no reason do you going to lose. And but then the council boards of the six, they have to be
a song to three.
You got to be able to fight this out of any camps by knowing the scripture, because you might see in one of the camps somebody that's, oh, they so good to us. They donate, they do this, they do that, they do that. We understand that. But you only can go so far because it's a trap, because it's going against scripture. You have to be able to do this thing yourself. The six anointed camps and those that are going to come in, you got to take care of this business with no debt over your head from the 17 nations, because it gets you off the Bible. on something that they own, you lose, according to Scripture. We're going back to Mother Eve and get Mother Eve now. She should be ready to come in for the close now. Mother Eve? You already on the clock already, Mother Eve. You already on the clock, Mother Eve. And now let's see, can we pick on what we just got through heard that Mother just said by going to Proverbs 18, verse 10. What do Proverbs 18, verse 10 say?
Okay, Proverbs.
Proverbs 18, verse 10.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteousness runneth into it and is faith.
Oh, so the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. And they that run into it, the righteous that run into it, they will be saved. They'd be saved. So you see, it's so important to understand this name, and that's why the big biblical Bible teacher, Craig Evans, he said he found, by being an archaeologist, he said he found some ancient Greek manuscripts. And he said, well, really caught his eyes, that although he was in Greek, but the true name, YHWH, was in it. So he said he got to make a whole big adjustment on the scholarship that he passed out from Houston. His name is Craig Evans. He's the leading biblical Bible teacher of the world, Evans. You put him on a computer, but he's an archaeologist too. And he said he got to tell the truth about the name. The name is the four letters, YHWH. Just got to read in Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the four letters, YHWH, is a strong tower. The righteous run it unto it and is safe. So that's why we use the name YHWH, they call it game changer name. Now, Michael, in 6 verse 9, made a profound statement behind what Solomon said. What did Michael say? Michael, chapter 6, verse 9. Mother Eve, what did Michael say pertaining to the name YHWH? Let's see, did he add to or take away from what Solomon just said? Michael, 6 verse 9.
The book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 9 reads, the Yahweh's verse cries unto the city, and the men of wisdom shall see their name. There is the rod, and who has appointed it?
Mm-hmm. So a man or woman of wisdom, once you know a man or woman got wisdom, what will they see according to 6 verse 9? Mother Eve, what will they see according to 6 verse 9?
Okay.
What will they see according to 6 verse 9? Man or woman of wisdom.
Okay.
What will they see?
See the name?
Mm-hmm. They will see
the name.
So when you hear them not using the name, that is a man or woman without wisdom. Because the one that have the wisdom, Mother E, they will see the what?
Name.
The name. So you be able to, in your mind, knowing exactly who before you, because if they had wisdom, they'll see what?
The name. The name.
The name. The name. So a lot of times, a lot of conversations ain't got to go no further. You can be clear. We know I'm standing for a person that have no wisdom, because if they had wisdom, what would they see?
The name.
The name. Now go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, and find out what name would they see. Now all this was pulled from Exodus 3:15. So a lot of times, six anointed camps, when you talking to someone, and when you tell them the name, but they don't see it, then you understand something Scripture says. They that have wisdom, they'll see it. When you tell the name, oh, YHWH, sing the name. The name is YHWH. So he got to make all his degrees, all this diplomas he gave out, and tell them, I left one thing out. I forgot to tell you that his name is not Lord God Jesus and Allah and Buddha. It's the four letters YHWH. Big Bible teacher, Houston. He's supposed to be the top man of the Bible. Craig Evans will be the top biblical Bible man in the world. He got to make adjustments because of the name. Exodus 3:15 says what?
Okay, Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. And Yahweh said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shall thus say unto the children of Israel, the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Jacob, Israel, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations.
Oh, so what name before be using all generations of mother, according to that verse? What name we supposed to use in all generation forever?
Yahweh.
You can read that in 3:15. Yeah, exactly right. Now, when you know this information, what do you do in the next verse 16? Who do you start telling this to in the next verse 16?
Verse 16, Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely
heard
you.
Good.
And
good. So once you know the name, who are you supposed to take it to first, there, Mother E, according to verse 16? Who are you supposed to take it to first, according to verse
16? Elders, the elders of Israel.
Excellent. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to first take your message of the name to who?
Go and gather the elders of Israel together.
That's it, right there. That's what we're supposed to do out of the six anointed camps. The first job we got to do is gather the elders, male and female, of Israel and tell them his name is YHWH forever and forever, ever, ever, ever. That's what we both be saying. One name. We both take it to the elders of Israel, male and female, to tell them one name, YHWH. Let's go to James. Go on to James there, Mother E. We go on to James and say something in James chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. We'll take it down to verse 16. We run to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. So now you see what our assignment is to do. We have to gather ourselves together, the elders, male and female, and tell them the name. It's the four letters, YHWH. That's what we got to do first, six anointed camps, is tell them the name. And let's see what he says in James chapter 5, 13, down to verse 16.
The book of James, chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing song. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation of Israel.
Of Israel.
And let them pray.
Yeah.
And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith, the covenant, shall save the sick. And the Yahweh shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The spirit prayer of the righteousness of the righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm. So now you see we got to make sure that if you're going to pray for me, if you're going to gather the elders together, make sure you do it according to the Bible in the name of the four letters, YHWH. Let's run and see what's going to happen if you don't do that. Let's go to the book of Enoch 41, first book of Enoch 41, 1 and 2. Suppose you don't do that. Matter of fact, read 40, verse 7.
41. First
book of Enoch, verse 6 and 7. Read the 40th chapter of the first book of Enoch. Let's see, do they know anything about this? The 40th chapter, verse 6 and 7. What does it say? First book of Enoch, chapter 40, verse 6 and 7. What does it say?
Okay. First book of Enoch, chapter 40, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. And the third voice I heard, praying. And the seed for those who live on the earth and pray honestly in the name of the Yahweh of Spirit. Verse 7. And I heard the fourth voice sounding off the strength. Adverse or accuser and forbidding them to come before the Yahweh of Spirit to accuse them who dwell on the earth.
So he's saying they tried to get to Yahweh, but the big mental spirit said, no, it's too late. Oh, I know his name is Yahweh. Why? It's too late now. You didn't use the name before you shut down. You ain't got nothing coming. And you got them great big mental spirits say, you didn't use the name. You ain't going to get to Yahweh once you wake back up if you don't get it right before you shut down. You got to shut down with the name, not when you wake up and you know his name. You better have his name going in your mouth now. Let's go to 41, 1 and 2 as well. Let's see what's going to happen to the ones that are going to keep on thumbing around with these names, Lord God, Jesus Christ, and Allah and Buddha. Let's see what's going to happen in 41, verse 1 and 2.
Book of Enoch, chapter 41, verse 1 and verse 2.
Yes.
Book of Enoch, chapter 41, verse 1. And after that, I saw all the secrets of heaven. And how the kingdom is divided, and how the actions of men and women are weighted in the balance. Verse 2. And there I saw the messenger of the elect, and the messenger of the righteous, and my eyes saw all the sinners being driven from thee, which denied the name of Yahweh of spirit, and they were being dragged off, and they could not live because of the punishment which proceeded from the Yahweh.
Y'all hear that? You a mother of Egypt, you said that, what you read again in 41 verse 2? You what did Enoch say he seen in 41 verse 2 again? What did he say, mother E? What did he say he seen?
The righteous. Okay.
Yeah, read verse 2. What did he see?
In my eyes saw all the sinners. All the sinners. Okay, I read that again. And there I saw the mansion of the elect and the mansion of the righteous. And my eyes saw all the sinners being driven from the which denied the name of the Yahweh of spirit. And they were being dragged off, and they could not live because of the punishment which proceeded from the Yahweh of spirit.
Wait a minute, Marie. You said, you read that what happened if you don't get the name right? What going to happen to them in verse 2? Look at verse 2 real carefully and pick out what going to happen if you do not have his name right that you can read. What did Enoch say he seen, but just don't have his name right? What going to happen to him?
It's all the sinners that didn't get the name right.
And what going to happen to him?
Punished because of the punishment which proceeded from the Yahweh of spirit. They're going to be dragged out.
And dragged off. They're going to be dragged off? Mother, you read that? You mean they're going to be dragged off and punished by not having his name right?
Right.
Is that what you're reading in verse 2? They be dragged off and punished if they don't have the name right. YHW. Is that what you're reading?
Right.
Is that what you're reading?
Right. Dragged off and punished. And they could not hear because of the punishment.
If you don't have the name right, we can read your end if you continue to call them all them other names. Now, you just got through reading. If you have the four letters right, you're going to be dragged off and punished by not having the name right. Let's go to 62, 1, 3. Let's go to the second book of Enoch, 62. And we'll look at verse, let's go to Enoch 62. So we find out right now, we can read, if you do not get the name right, YHWH, you keep on calling them Lord God and Jesus. Now we can read, the end of you going to be punished. Now what it says in 62, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. The second book of Enoch, chapter 52, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, what do
verse
it say?
Verse 1. Blessed is the man who in his patience bring his gift with faith before the Yahweh's faith, because he will find forgiveness of sins. Verse 2.
Okay.
But if he takes back his word before the time, there is no repentance for him. And if the time passes and he does not of his own will perform what is promised, there is no repentance after death. Verse 3. Because every word. Verse 3.
No repentance after death. You don't get the name right. Tell your sister, your auntie, your cousins, all your friends. If you don't get the name right, don't put that down. You can't repent when you wake up. You got to get the name right before you shut your eyes, because you're going to be driven away and punished. So tell your loved ones, if you don't get the name right before you shut down, when you wake up, you will be dragged off and punished. The name is Yahweh, YHWH. And Mother E, whatever your closing statement is, you're on the clock and we catch you all Wednesday night. And Yahweh be with you all until Wednesday night.
Okay. Thank you, praising Yahweh for another class. Thank you, praising Yahweh for the steer. And thank you, praising Yahweh for these people that's in the class. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Mother E, coming out of Cam 1. Now you got the sound information here right here. What's going to get you in trouble if you don't call on the true name, YHWH? You're going to be punished and dragged off and beat up some more, according to Enoch. Got it? We'll catch you all Wednesday night, and Yahweh beats you all. Shalom.